of a witness. If you've ever encountered them, they'll come knocking at your door, and most people are either won't answer the door or are afraid to talk to them or whatever. I've always encountered them, and I think after we went through a few rotations, I've seen them come down, and they'll go to the house next to me, skip my house, and go to the next house. So I think they mark us. But before we get started on that, I do want to mention an email that the church got on my study on the Catholic Church. Somebody emailed the church, and I'm going to read you what he wrote. I'm going to try not to comment at all as I read it. I'm going to reserve that for after I'm done reading it. But these sermons go around the world. I mean, it's the World Wide Web. And this fella, I'm not going to give his last name, but his first name is Nick, and he lives in Oklahoma. I'm not going to give his city or his last name, but this guy emailed me, and here's what he or emailed the church, and here's what he said. Howdy, and he seemed like a nice guy. I listened to your recent Sunday school lesson on Catholicism. I am a convert to the Catholic Church, former Baptist pastor, Bible translation missionary. The scriptures made me Catholic. Most of your assertions are mischaracterizations of the Catholic doctrine, and I shared so many of them for years. I remember teaching similar lessons to the congregation. This email is just an offer. If you have any desire to talk through some of these things, I would love the opportunity to give biblical explanations for any Catholic doctrine you're convinced is unbiblical. I hope to not come across as smug or confrontational. It took a very slow 4 years of digging and reading and rereading and asking a million questions before I was convinced this is the church Jesus founded. I had no incentive to join, no family asking me. It just started with some unanswerable questions I had as a Protestant that made me want to see how the church had functioned and believed in its early centuries. We do have a lot in common, love of basketball, moving in preteen years to the different part of the country, meeting our ladies in high school, skeptical about the religion we were introduced to. I was raised agnostic, and we both have a deep love for Jesus and the Bible. Let me put in parentheses, I take mine to church. I want to have time to converse. Please feel free to respond with whatever doctrine you'd like to start with, and I will do my best to give a thoughtful biblical response. Blessings, brother Nick, and I'm not going to give you his last name online. So, Nick, if you're reading this or if you're seeing this, I have a proposal. I have a suggestion. If you would like to come here and show me and everybody else how I've mischaracterized your church, you are more than welcome to come. We'll set up a structured situation where I get like 5 minutes opening, you get 5 minutes opening, and then we get to go back and forth 7 to 10 minutes. We'll have it arranged. You can say whatever. You call me a heretic. You can say I need to be burned at the stake. I don't care. There is no holds barred. You say whatever. And listen, I will buy you a meal at your restaurant of choice. We've got Texas Day Brazil. We've got Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the Florentine Building. I mean, there's some pretty nice places in Birmingham. If you'll come, I promise you, I'll buy the... Now, I can't eat with you because the Bible says I'm not allowed to eat with an idolater. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But the Bible does not say I can't buy you a meal. So you get the meal of your choice. And I promise you safe passage. No harm will come to you from this church. Nobody will put a bounty on your head. You can say whatever. Now, if you stay in Birmingham, I can't offer you that same promise because the heathen in Birmingham is a bad place. Birmingham is one of the most violent, crime-ridden cities in America, but almost any big city is. But again, you will have free passage. Nobody here will hurt you. You will be the only one of your faith, but I promise you, nobody here will hurt you. Now, I might hurt your feelings, but I won't hurt you physically. But see, that's not like what they did with Martin Luther. The Catholic Church, Pope Pius X, I got it written down, Pope Leo X in 1521 issued a papal bull against Martin Luther. He issued the papal bull. It stated no one was allowed to print, sell, or distribute any of Luther's writings. No one was allowed to go house to house, or no one was allowed to house him, help him, or assist him in any way. And if anybody killed Martin Luther, there would be no reprisal. The Catholic Church put a bounty on Martin Luther's head for what he taught. That's what you're defending. That's what you're defending. We won't hurt you. You can say whatever you want. You can pray to Mary. You can do the rosary. With your 10 minutes, you can say whatever. Oh, and the other thing is, at the end, I won't be able to question each other. I want to be able to cross-examine. You can ask me any question you want to ask me, and I'll answer it. But I get to ask you any question I want to ask you. So those are the ground rules. You can say whatever you want. I mean, there will be no interruptions. And when I talk, it'll be the same thing. No interruptions. And at the end, we get to cross-examine each other. I will buy you a meal of your choice, any place you want to go eat. So there you go. Nick, I believe that was his name. Yep, Nick. He lives in Oklahoma, so if you're willing to make that travel and you really want to show me and this and these fine people how I've mischaracterized the Catholic Church, you know, especially the part where Jesus said, call no man on earth your father. He's talking about the religious situation, purgatory. I mean, how I mischaracterized purgatory, how I mischaracterized infant baptism, how I mischaracterized how nobody in the Bible prayed to Mary. I mean, how you can come here and explain how I've mischaracterized every bit of that. And you'll get your say. You'll get your say. All right, let's move on to the other heresy that we're going to talk about this morning is the Jehovah Witness. This is an interesting study because I've had a few good encounters. When I worked with the state of Florida, there was a guy I encountered, and we went for probably about 6 months, and he finally left Jehovah Witness over what I showed him in the Bible. After what I showed him in his own Bible, they had their own Bible, the New World Translation, and he was able to see that. Well, about... I don't know, man, I'm bad with time. I could say a couple years ago and it could have been 15 or it could have been last July, but it seemed like I've been in management with the Postal Service probably 10, 11, 12, I don't know, 14 years. She's going like this. Well, anyway, I was a mail carrier with the Postal Service 500 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, it was a cold, 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 rainy day. I mean, fingers couldn't hardly move. And I come in the post office at the end of the day. I am soaked, freezing, shivering. My lips are purple. And I saw this posting. I was a city carrier in Bessemer. And anyway, no, not Bessemer, Inslee. I mean, I was walking over bodies. I didn't know if they was asleep or dead. And I just kept on walking. I got a job to do. My job, deliver mail. It ain't to check on if somebody's breathing. But anyway, I walked in and there was a post up that had a supervisor job, a management job in Jasper, and that's where I lived. I was driving from Jasper, and I thought, that looks like the will of God. I mean, inside job, I mean, I am soaked. I am miserable. So I went ahead and put in for it, and when I was going through the interview process, you had to go to committees. Different people, I remember you walk into one room, they'd interview you, walk in another room, they'd interview you, and you walk in another room. I mean, it was intense. I mean, I think I was, you know, some kind of FBI, CIA background check, and but I was just to be going to management as the Postal Service. I remember walking in one room, and the guy says, "Well dressed, very." I mean, of all the people I interviewed, he was suit and tie, had the three piece on. I'm talking about, man, he was very sharp. I remember that about him. And one of the questions he asked you was, "What have you done in your life to prove to change somebody's mind?" And what it is, it's a leadership type question. Give me an example of where you was able to show somebody that your way of doing something was the best way. And I'm sitting there thinking about all my jobs. He's like, no, it can be about anything. It don't have to be about work, just about anything. Okay, well, there was this Jehovah Witness in the state of Florida that I worked. And I said, do you care if it's about the Bible? He's like, no, I don't care. And he perked up. And I thought, well, man, this is a, you know, lukewarm Southern Baptist. I'm fixing to give him a Bible education right here. And I go through the whole thing and I talk about how this Jehovah Witness, we got into it pretty bad. And I remember walking into a room at another building we were in. There was about 12, 15 guys. Well, he ridiculed me publicly. And you don't want to do that because I turned it on him so bad. And I said, okay, in my mind, I said, you want to play this game? We'll play this game in front of everybody. Look, if you want to debate me and we go, I won't do anything to humiliate you publicly, but when you go there, you try that. So I said, all right, you want to do this? Let's do this. And I said his name. I was like, would you consider yourself a hypocrite in front of everybody? Oh, no. I was like, well, you know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is somebody who says they believe something, but they do the exact thing what they say they don't believe. That's a hypocrite. Somebody who says, I don't believe this, and they do that, or so, you know. And he said, yeah, I got it. I'm like, well, you're a hypocrite. He's like, well, how can you say such? I'm like, Jehovah's Witness don't believe in saluting the flag. They don't believe in voting. They don't believe in, you can't even own a flag. they don't believe in government. They don't believe in taxes. I said, so are you going to get in your car this afternoon and you're going to get on these roads and you're going to drive home? Because you're a hypocrite. You don't believe in paying taxes. If you weren't a hypocrite, you'd get in the car, drive in the ditch all the way to the house. You're a hypocrite. I'm like, I said, do you not believe in government? Well, no, I mean, they don't believe in the military. They don't. They don't believe that we ought to have, they don't have nothing to do with government, nothing to do with military, nothing to do with paying taxes. It is wrong for them to even own a flag. So I said, you're going to get in your car and you're going to drive on these roads, which you say you're against. You're a hypocrite. And of course, everybody busted out laughing. But anyway, that really, you know, sometimes you got to, you ever seen somebody screaming and hollering on a plane? You're like, settle down, quit. Ah, and you just wham. And they stop. You're like, okay, now settle down. Well, I had to spiritually slap him. And when I did, he come to me. He's like, you know, that bothered me that you embarrassed me and humiliated me in front of all this. I said, you started. He's like, I did. But it got him thinking. Like, if I don't believe in paying taxes, what am I doing driving on the road? If I don't believe in the military, why am I living in a nation that is surrounded, that our military has given us the liberty and freedoms that we've got? I mean, he just said it made me think. So anyway, John Richardson was the guy that the Birmingham postmaster. So I had to go through a lot of this. And this is off of memory. I wasn't prepared for this, but I went through the Bible and showed how. And I'm not going to tell y'all everything because we're going to get into it because I'll just be repeating myself. So I went through all this, and I even made the comment. Most Jehovah's Witnesses are just backslidden Baptists, Southern Baptists that don't know the Bible, you know. And I'm thinking that's pretty. I get done. He tells me he's the head of Jehovah's Witness for the state of Alabama. Everybody knows this but me. I tell a few people about this, and they're like, you did what? And he's first. He is as Jehovah's Witness as you can get. He's not just a member. He's not just somebody who goes. Like, he is the main dude that represents the state of Alabama. And I just sat here and torched what he believed. And he tells me this at the end. He's like, well, I'm the such and such with Jehovah's Witness. And he's like, that was interesting. I'm like, I'm not getting a job, am I? I'm like, you're not going to recommend I get this job, are you? He says, well, honestly, no. But it's because I want you to come work for me. He's like, I want you to be one of my station managers in the city of Birmingham, which they've got probably 20 stations. And even though I just torched his religion and I set it on fire and poured more gas on it and set it on fire even more, I respected him that he took that. That meant a lot to me. Now, I didn't do it on purpose. I thought he was a Southern Baptist. I thought he was eating this stuff up, man. I mean, I'm just pouring it on and piling it on. But he did tell me, he's like, you've made me think about what I believe. You made me think. And today, right now, he is the postmaster in Birmingham. He's Birmingham's postmaster. And every time I see him, he smiles and laughs and shakes my hand and says, man, I got a job opening for you if you'd like. He went on and recommended because obviously I got it. But that was one of the weirdest, awkwardest, because I'm thinking he's just eating this stuff up, man. He's never heard such Bible knowledge dropped on him. And I got liberty. And at the end, he's like, I'm the head of Jehovah's Witness for the state of Alabama. So anyway, I thought it was funny. But I'm telling you, I talked to a couple other people in the Postal Service, and they're like, No, you didn't. You did not say that, and you did not tell him. I said, yeah, I did. And had I known, I wouldn't have. Brother Stephen, if I'd known, he would, you know, I just out of respect for him. But God knew. And it seemed like, how did I not know? How did everybody else in the Postal Service know but me? That's how it goes for me. All right. The founder of the Jehovah Witness, or how it got started, was Charles Taze Russell. He was born in Allegheny, Pennsylvania in 1852, and he died in 1916. Charles Taze Russell. Now, I don't know if he's related to Nick, but please don't hold that against him. He was raised in a Presbyterian church. And listen, of all the denominations out there, the Presbyterian church is probably the closest doctrinally to us. Doctrinally. I'm not talking about they're dead. It's orthodox. It's dry. There's no liberty. There's nobody smiling. Nobody. But doctrinally, if you just read their doctrinal statement, it's pretty close to us. So the guy was raised better than most. At the age of 13, he joined a congregational church. And around 16, he began to have problems with the Bible doctrines that the congregational church taught him and the Presbyterian church taught him. Around the age of 18, he attended a Seventh-day Adventist meeting with Jonas Wendell. He was a speaker. And Charles Taze Russell was blown away. He was just enamored. He was fascinated with William Miller, who was a part of a group called the Millerites. And he taught the second coming of Christ would happen in October 22nd, 1844. The Adventists and the Millerites are bad about just naming dates. This is when the world's going to end. This on this date, at this time, like God's coming back, or the end of the world, or Armageddon. And they are just riddled with this stuff. Ellen G. White started the Seventh-day Adventist officially after Miller's prophecy failed in 1846. And we're not going to get into that one. We'll probably look at the Seventh-day Adventist the next time. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I probably won't get through all this, so we'll have a couple weeks of the Seventh-day, or the Jehovah's Witness. But there's a lot of commingling. He got his influence from the Seventh-day Adventist and a lot of their teachings, but he doesn't have everything. But he got a lot from the Millerites and the Seventh-day Adventist. Charles Taze Russell rejected the idea of hell. Charles Taze Russell said there is no hell. He rejected the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He believed that Jesus is Michael. Jesus is Michael, the archangel in human form. This is what Charles Taze Russell taught. He believed that Jesus was God's very first creation. Which, if Jesus is God's first creation, then Jesus isn't who? He's not God. He believed the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. There we go. I bought a New World Translation at a thrift store. I think it's only a quarter. And I was going to have somebody read it, and I forgot it at home. Man, we had a morning. We got Emily and Nick's kids. And I'm telling you, when your kids are out of the house and they're gone, and all of a sudden you got a baby and a couple kids, and what you got to do to get them ready, and I'm ready for them. I had to hear it. I had to listen to it. I had to watch the chaos. I picked her up from the steps and set her in the car.
I got you out of the car to do it.
I was sitting in the car ready to go, and she's like, I can't carry him down the steps. Like, no, you just can't carry him. Got out of the car, but I put the baby in the car, which I don't normally have to do. And I'm glad to be, I love them. I do anything for them, but I'm glad to give them back this afternoon. They can. I don't know how these people take these kids in older age. I'm done, man. My patience is shot. I mean, I was watching a documentary last night, and Carson brings out this hideous looking creature and turns it on, and it starts dancing and singing, and I can't hear the TV. Man, like, what do you? The kids make noise. Kids make noise, and they make a lot of noise. Well, man, yeah, I've had it. I love my kids, grandkids, but anyway, this Russell fellow, Charles Taze Russell, believed that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. He rejected the idea of hell. He rejected the Trinity. You gonna be all right? He rejected that Jesus is God. He rejected the person of the Holy Spirit. And he taught that the soul ceases to exist at death. He said at death, there's nothing. See, this is what happens when you let an ignorant and unlearned man get a hold of this. When you let a novice, when you let somebody who doesn't have enough, like if you put his spiritual brain on a razor, it'd be like a BB rolling down a highway. You get that in a minute. That's how much knowledge he had of the Bible, and then he founds a religion. But this is what happens. I mean, this kind of, how can you say there's no hell? How can you read this Bible and say there's no hell? Jesus said you're better off to pluck your eye out, cut your arm off, cut your leg off, than to burn in hell. What, he's just playing? He just wasting words? It's ridiculous. But this is what happens when you let an ignorant and unlearned man take the Bible and start making statements. This is on the Jehovah's Witness website about Charles Taze Russell and the subject of hell. The subject of hell is usually a hot one. That's kind of funny. The late Pastor Charles Taze Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witness, delighted in attacking the Bible teaching in public talks, ridiculing the notion of God tormenting people in hell. He would shout, "Why would a loving God do this?" Hey, Charles Taze Russell, why is there no hell? Because a loving God wouldn't do that. That's his foundation. That's his thesis. That's his position. Charles Taze Russell, why do you say there's no hell? Because a loving God wouldn't put nobody there. See, Charles Taze Russell was a recovering fundamentalist before becoming a recovering fundamentalist was cool. He rejected the Bible doctrines. So he just creates his own religion. When you die, you just die. That's it. There's nothing. There's no hell. There's no Trinity. Jesus isn't God. He just makes up all this stuff. And there's 8 million Jehovah's Witnesses around the world. What is wrong with you? Listen, if I was to write a book for dummies on how to start a cult or how to start a heresy or how to start a falsehood, number one, make up a bunch of crazy stuff. Number two, tell people if they don't do the crazy stuff you just made up, they're not going to make it to heaven. So you got, and number three, write your own Bible. There's your cult right there. Make up a bunch of bizarre, weird, crazy stuff. Tell people if they don't do your crazy, bizarre stuff that you just made up, they're not going to heaven. That's what he did. And people are afraid of these folks, man. I'm telling you, they're loon. I didn't tell you what all I told John Richardson, the Birmingham Postmaster Jehovah's Witness. Y'all think, I mean, I thought he was into it. I thought he was enjoying it. So how I'm giving it to you, I was unloading on him. And he sat there quiet the whole time. Never asked a question. He's like, okay, all right. And I just kept going. I just kept going. And at the end, he's like, I'm Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, a recovering fundamentalist rejects the God of the Bible. And that's what Charles Taze Russell did. In the late 1800s, he was already a recovering fundamentalist. He grew up in a Presbyterian church, and he grew up in a and he went to a Congregationalist church about the age of 13. So he had enough Bible doctrine. Those churches doctrinally are not that far off. But he got in his head, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? I'm going to start a church and just tell people that there is no hell. And people flock over to him because they like that message. That once you die, you die. That's it. There's no more life. That's what he teaches. There's no consequences. Russell, Charles Taze Russell, prophesied that Jesus would return in 1874. He made that declaration, and I can prove every bit of this. You can Google it. Jehovah's Witness even admit it. They don't deny it. He also prophesied that Jesus would set up his kingdom on the earth in 1914. Then Joseph Rutherford, who took over after Charles Taze Russell died, he took over the Jehovah's Witness movement. He said in 1914 that the world would end in 1925. They're making prophecies. That's what a prophet does. A prophet prophesies about the future. In 1968, the Watchtower Society, which is a Jehovah's Witness organization, prophesied that Armageddon would happen in 1975. Officially, this wasn't said behind closed doors. They publicly come out and said, this is the prophecy. And there are so many false prophecies they had. If y'all really want to get into them, we could take probably 2 weeks and just go over their false prophecies. Deuteronomy 18. You should already be there. Deuteronomy 18, look in verse 20. This is what the Bible says about a false prophet. About somebody, listen, anybody that come out and says, thus saith the Lord, and it don't come to pass, you know what you know? Thus God didn't say. Acts chapter 18, verse 20, Deuteronomy. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So if somebody says, God said, and it didn't come to pass, the Bible says he's to die. Verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? So he's saying, how do we know if this guy's right or not? If a guy stands up and says, thus said the world's going to end, or Jesus is going to come back, or Armageddon, how do we know if it's true or not? Verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, that's what they're doing, God's going to do this or that. If the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Have no fear of him, have no respect of him, he's not of God. This is the organization that they're following. They're a part of an organization that said in 1874 that Jesus would return. In 1914, he'd set up his kingdom. In 1925, the world would end. You're a part of that organization. I can list so many more false prophecies. Why would you be a member? Now, I'm talking to John Richardson like this. I'm like, I didn't have the exact dates. I'm like, but they named prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. That failed. And the Bible says if somebody stands up and it doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. Why would you be a member of that? A few famous Jehovah's Witnesses. Michael Jackson was a Jehovah's Witness. His family grew up Jehovah's Witness. Prince was a Jehovah's Witness. Of course, I'm sure Baptists have got their celebrities too, so I can't really fault them too bad for that. Serena and Venus Williams were raised Jehovah's Witness. Dwight D. Eisenhower, a 34th president, was Jehovah's Witness. Like I said, there's 8,700,000 members worldwide. It astounds me. It absolutely astounds me how somebody can come up with foolishness and people follow it. Like I'm just, no hell, seriously? We just die and that's it? Where'd you get that out of the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? The Bible says it's appointed to man wants to die, and after this, what? If we die, if there's no afterlife, what's there to judge? I mean, it's lunacy. He really was a recovering fundamentalist before becoming a recovering fundamentalist. Fundamentalist was popular. It's popular. Everybody's a recovering. I was raised wrong, and God wouldn't send any, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And they preach this judgment of God, and God's just a mean God, and God's just, listen, God is love. God is merciful. He's kind. He's gracious, but he's also holy and just. The Bible talks about chastisement when we do wrong, as our children do wrong. But because our parents beat us, were they horrible people? No, it was for our good and our benefit. Did our parents love us? Yes. All these recovering fundamentalists focus on is the mean, angry, vengeful, judgmental God. Charles Taze Russell's biggest thing was, how could a loving, and I mean everything I read, his thing was, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? Well, you're not looking at it correctly. He sent his own son to hell so you don't have to go. He satisfied his holiness. He satisfied his pureness by sending him, being a sacrifice of himself, of his son. So you don't have to go. You don't just throw out the idea of hell. You don't just make people just, at the end when they just die like a dog. There's nothing else. So in the late 1800s, because before this, there was none of this foolishness. People didn't believe this stupid stuff. But somehow God established his church in the late 1800s and 1900s with this. They found an Old Testament name of God, Jehovah, and they became Jehovah's Witness. So if we want to start a new cult, a new heresy, let's find an Old Testament name of God and let's just call ourselves after that. What's an Old Testament name of God? Anybody think of one? Just right off the top of your head. It could be anything. Like I remember when Moses said, "Lord, who should I tell him I am?" He said, "What did he tell Moses to tell him?" Let's become the I Amites. We're the I Amites. I mean, they just went back and found an Old Testament. They called themselves Jehovah's Witness. We're gonna be the Iites with, or the I Am Witnesses. It's just ridiculous. Let me just show. Go to Revelation chapter 7. So not only did they start this bizarre, crazy, new name church that God had nothing to do with, and this is one of their main teachings. This is a foundational teaching of the Jehovah's Witness church. John chapter 7, look in verse 4. Revelation. Yep. I'll tell you, I'm still dizzy. I'm still. In the other morning, I get up early to try to go to the gym a little bit. I'm getting older. If I don't take care of myself, nobody else is going to do it. So I had my bag, I had my cup of water, and I had a piece of toast, and I'm coming down the steps, and I slip and fell at the top. Stuff went everywhere, and I thought, you know, that initial moment, like, how bad? Is this 911? Is this ambulance worthy? Like, is my back broke and I can't move? And I'm just letting, you know, and you just don't move. And, of course, I hear, and I look over, my dog's eating my toast. And I'm like, what, ain't that life right there? That my one piece of toast and my dog is eating my toast. He don't care nothing about me. I don't know why I got into all that, but. Oh, I was dizzy. So I'm thinking, did I fall because I'm dizzy or did I fall because the steps are wet? And Jen painted them. And I went and bought those little strips that you can get that's got like a texture to them. Now, I ain't put them on. So if I'd have fell and slipped today, they're sitting in the house on the table. All I got to do is put them on, but I haven't done it yet. But anyway, I don't know why I got into all that. We're here in Revelation chapter 7. They teach the foundational doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are the 144,000 witnesses in Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7. You okay? Are you laughing at me or with me? All right. Revelation chapter 7. Where are we at here? Just look in verse 4. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. That's what they believe. They will argue to you till you're passed out. They are the 144,000. All right, verse 4. And I heard a number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of who? Come on, man. That's like us starting this I am Ites religion, and we're walking out there going door to door. Won't you join us? Because the I am Ites are the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. It didn't even list the 12. Like, of the tribe of Judah, there were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben. And I'm not going to go down all the tribes. It not only tells you they're Israelites, it tells you that they're from those tribes. So this guy in 1800s and the 1900s declares that they're the 144,000. They go knocking on the door. Brother Bowen, I know this says this is the tribe of Israel, but they're really us. And Brother Bowen, I'm not, you know, or somebody, you know, okay, I believe. I'm going to follow you. I mean, come on, man. Again, just read the words on the page. It's not 144,000 Jehovah Witness. And here's another problem Jehovah Witness had. Remember how many I told you they had currently? It's over 8 million. Well, before this, only Jehovah Witnesses are going to be the one to get saved. Well, they've got 144,000, but their 8 million is a whole lot more than 144,000. You know how they handle that? Well, only the best of the best Jehovah Witnesses are the 144,000. That's the elect of the elect. But they didn't teach that in the beginning. They taught only 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. Well, they got 8 million members. Well, they can't all be 144,000. So if you're not a member of the elect, you know where these people go? Nowhere. They die and it's over. There's no afterlife. There's nothing. They do. I mean, do you see how lunatic? Like, this is clown world stuff. Yes. Well, yeah, because if you ask them, which ones make it? Well, only God makes. Only God only determines that. The best of the best, the purest, the most holy, the most devout Jehovah Witnesses are going to be these 144,000. Everybody else, listen. The vilest sinner, the person that hates God, I'm talking about the enemy of God, and the person who's the 145th, 144,000, and you number one, you go to the same death and the non-existence as the other guy. Yeah. Yeah, because the Bible says in Revelation 14 that they're male virgin Jews they're males. I really don't know the answer to that. I guess, I mean, if you're just going to go total lunatic and go off the deep end, I mean, who knows what they say? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's just it. They have changed their doctrines. Or if you're going to come out and say that the Armageddon is going to happen in 1975 and it don't happen, you have to change. It's insanity. We might just get on one of these. All right, turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're just going to look at a few of the things. 1 John chapter 5. They do not believe in a Trinity. 1 John chapter 5. And I've asked him to pull up. So if you'll go to 1 John on your thing here. 1 John chapter 5. All right, somebody want to read that out of a King James Bible? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Spirit, yep, Holy Ghost. These three are one. All right? In 1 John chapter, we're struggling on the bandwidth this morning, I reckon. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. I was going to show you, this is in their Bible. Remember, you're going to start a heresy, you're going to start a cult. You make up a bunch of crazy stuff. You tell people if you don't do the crazy stuff you just made up, they won't make it to heaven, and you write your own Bible. That's starting a new religion for dummies. Starting a heresy or cult for dummies. Do we normally have internet issues? He had the website. Just slow. We may since we're so close. He's trying to go again. Get this one here. We're about done anyway. I mean, maybe we'll have it up next week. I've got a list of a few, not a lot. But I was going to show you in their Bible and what they wrote. Just click on this one here, this New World Translation. I think you might have got it back. Can you imagine all of this foolishness that we're talking about? And now you're going out and trying to convince other people of your foolishness? And they did it. They did it. They're successful. Jehovah's Witnesses are growing. Well, I mean, I can pull it up on my phone. I just want everybody to see it. All right. We've got verse 7. Well, you got to look down here at the bottom over at somebody else's head. All right. Somebody read the verse again, 1 John. It was up here. What happened to it? Put it about up here so everybody can see it. A little bit more. We can do it right there. You're fine. For there are three witness bearers. For there are three witness bearers. What in the world? What? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are what? But according to this, there's three. For there are three witness bearers. That's all it says. Jesus is not to be worshipped. They want you worshiping God, which they don't consider Jesus to be God. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. We'll probably end on this one. We'll get some. So if you will, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Can you go back to Matthew? Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 9. Somebody want to read verse 18? Somebody else other than Jennifer? Matthew, go ahead. Okay, so this ruler came and worshiped Jesus, but they don't believe in worshiping Jesus. And when you write your own Bible, you can't have that. So Matthew 9, verse 18, while he was telling them these things, look, a certain ruler who had approached did obeisance to him, saying, by now my daughter must be dead, but come and lay your hand on her and she will come to life. There's a difference between worship and obeisance. Obeisance means a gesture expressing deferential respect, a bow or curtsy. A lot of the European or a lot of the Asian countries will do that when you walk into their presence. That's obeisance. That's not worship. They took worship, just take it out of the Bible. Remember, you make up a bunch of crazy stuff. You tell people if they don't do the crazy stuff you just made up, they're not going to go to heaven. And you write your own Bible. It's right there. Let's do one more. John chapter 1. Go back. John chapter 1 and we'll quit. And I got to quit or we'll be. It gets better. I really want to get some of these up. We may do two more. I can't help myself. John chapter 1 verse 1. Somebody want to read that out of a King James Bible? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? That's different. Little g. Little g. Last one, Genesis chapter 1. Go all the way to the first book of the Bible, and we'll stop after this. Genesis chapter 1. Look in verse 2. Somebody want to read verse 2 for me? Somebody different. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. You raise it up a little bit. What moved upon the face of the water? Now the earth was formless and desolate, and there was darkness upon the surface of the waters, of the watery deep. And God's what? Active force was moving up. Come on, man. What is this, Star Wars stuff? Yeah, look, Stephen's right. When you make up your own religion, you're going to turn it off. When you make up your own, we're going to go over some more. When you make up your own heresy, you make up your own cult, you write your own Bible. We don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. We believe it's a force. That's not what my Bible says. Oh, okay, well, we'll just write a new Bible and they just put force in there. The force, come on, man. But they are adamant. They are zealous. They do study their Bible more than most dead Laodicean Baptists. They do. But they teach them this crazy stuff. Anybody got any? Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Right. It's the powers that. Yep. It is. You know, if you're the devil, do you think he cares what cult or what heresy you fall off into? As long as you ain't got the right one, he don't care if you pick Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, I mean, Church of Christ. He doesn't care as long as you're not on the right one. And this is another branch of the devil's religion. All right, anybody else got anything? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for your word. Lord, for without your word, Father, this would all be conjecture and speculation and assumptions. And Father, it's amazing how we do have your word, and yet still, there are people like these that just make up stuff. That just, I don't get it, Lord. And what I don't, not only do I not get them making it up and doing it, Father, I don't understand how ignorant and foolish people can just follow this stuff. When we've got a Bible that clearly lays out everything, it's clear, it's plain, it's easy to be understood, and yet people follow this nonsense. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd help us to stay true to your word. And God, help us not, and even in our own lives, to have our own ideas and assumptions about things, Father. Help us to defer to your word in every aspect of our life, Father. I pray you bless this morning service. Lord, I know there's a lot going on, and I know there's people that couldn't make it this morning, Father, for different reasons. And Lord, you know all those reasons, Father, and I pray you just have your hand in that. Lord, I pray you'd be honored and glorified through everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.